No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, giving you everything from opening day, the home opener at Coors Field on Friday. I don't know if I'll be able to break everything down that went on. It was a pretty busy, pretty happening game. A lot of pregame news breaking. Chase Dolander going to make his major league debut on Sunday against the Athletics. I'm going to try to hit everything I can. I'm recording this late at night, and I was going to give you a lot of audio from the ballpark, and I will eventually, but I thought there's just enough that happened on Friday in and of itself that's going to cover things pretty mightily. Rockies did lose 6-3 in a game that they had an opportunity to win at multiple times. And, you know, believe it or not, for being 1-6 right now, tied for the worst start in franchise history, again, in a 7-game start. We'll see if it continues to go that poorly. But they've been in every single game. They've had an opportunity. The winning run or the tying run has come up in every single game that they've played in. The fact that they haven't been able to push those runs across home plate to win those games speaks volumes, but I think it's also interesting to note that, you know what, they haven't been incredibly overmatched, which could end up playing a key role later on in the season in feeling good about the win-loss record and, you know, potentially avoiding 100 losses, which is where I still think they're headed. But again, considering the fact that they've played all these close ball games, you know, that certainly could bode incredibly well towards, you know, winning somewhere in the mid-60s. Ho-hum, right? Pre-game ceremony, everything was pretty great. Love the flyover. It was nicer early in the day than later. The sun was trying to poke out a little bit in the sky. I recorded some video at the top of Coors Field in the upper deck saying, you know, I'm not a meteorologist, so there was that disclaimer. I thought we would be fine. There were like snowflakes at 2 and 3 o'clock at like 30%. I just thought, no, I mean, maybe it'll be not great for a while. As long as the winds aren't swirling, the winds eventually did start coming in. The sun can poke out, or maybe, you know, if the temperature doesn't really drop too much. And it didn't technically. It was 37 degrees, which was tied for the second coldest first pitch start in home opener history. Of course, snow opening day at 27 degrees in 2018, still the lowest they've ever had. 2004 was also 37 degrees, but it felt more like 24. In the morning, walking around the ballpark, I got a good sweat going. I had my layers on, had a scarf, didn't even have a winter cap on yet, but it was good enough. And then sure enough, as we got closer to first pitch, it very much became snow opening day. So not great. Before the game, got a chance to catch up with some of the guys in the clubhouse, say hello to some of those players that weren't around when I was there in spring training, or at least didn't get a chance to talk to. Caught up with Jimmy Hergett. I'll bring you some of that conversation here eventually, probably on the Rockies Insider newsletter. And he was interesting to talk to. He had a nice scoreless performance at the home opener. And yeah, so talked to some guys, then you know, caught up with some folks in the sports media that I hadn't seen in a while, and some folks that I'm probably not going to see until this time next year for the next home opener of Coors Field as their news folks or sports folks and not really baseball focused. They might be baseball focused if the Rockies had a good product, but as it were, they do not show up at all, really, which is unfortunate. But it was nice sitting with the same folks I typically do up in the press box from Purple Row: Renee Deckert, Sam Bradfield, Christian Saez from DNVR. And we had the windows closed at first in the press box, but you know what? If you turn the heaters on, you put some fingerless gloves on, which I like to rock when I'm, you know, working the keyboard, keeping my hands a little bit warm. Throw a hat on, you still want to feel the outdoor effects. You still want to hear the fans. But for half the game, the right side of the press box, the window was closed. And for the second half, the other window eventually did end up coming down. So, you know, you lose some of the feeling of what it's like to be watching this game or what it's like in the stand. So that was a disappointment. Yet at the same time, it was pretty darn cold. The wind was swirling. And, you know, obviously, look, I'm not complaining. We had it better than anyone that was at the ballpark. Not the 48,015 at the ballpark. That was the announced attendance. And remember, with Major League Baseball, the announced attendance is tickets sold, not how many people actually showed up. And the weather scared people away. You know, were there folks selling their tickets on the secondary market? I imagine if they decided that they weren't going to go. And you just knew they were going to play this game because it would have just been a cluster. Cluster, you know what, on Saturday, had it not gone off. So it was fine. There wasn't too much issue. You know, the grass was a little bit moist. It was hard picking the ball up. I talked with Ryan Feltner about that. He made a nice play that eventually was overturned. One of three plays that the A's had overturned, which was kind of wild. But, you know, he picked up the ball on a little dribbler down the first baseline, and his footing was fine, but picking up that baseball and throwing it, not great. Seth Halverson, during his one of the spots during his two innings of work, he looked great over two innings in both the ninth and the 10th inning, but he ended up slipping a little bit. And after he got he sort of replanted his foot, pumped the ball in his hand back into his mitt to regrip, and that extra half second cost him a little bit on what ended up being an infield single for Lawrence Butler to move runners over to first and third. Eventually, you had a nice 6-3 double play. Tovar taking it at second, getting the runner over at first base, and J.J. Blade, who looked nice in this game. But the pregame stuff, let's get back to that. See everybody in the clubhouse saying hello. Hey, have a good first game. Whose locker's over here? Whose locker's there? Oh, Chris Bryant just popped in for a second right as everyone's leaving. Buddy's talking in the dugout, and you got a wall of cameras in front of you a little bit. And the surprise was almost spoiled right away. Like, all right, let's get this thing started. Hey, let's talk about Sunday's starter. And I was ready to ask about it. I was ready to inquire. You know, I've been on the chase train and thinking that not only does he deserve the opportunity, but that all signs were pointing to him getting that opportunity with how highly Buddy and the coaching staff has spoken about him during spring training, and how it's, again, seemingly if you can really dissect the words and if you're really paying attention, you know that they were saying, hey, he's got to get experience against big league hitters. And the only way he's going to get that experience is by getting that experience. Well, you can kind of do that in AAA, or you can do that in the major. So that was put to the side. And someone said, hey, could we just get to the general excitement of opening day? And we didn't actually get to that. It was right away, hey, this team is 1-5, and you know, in the early days of the Rockies, it was all about the Blake Street Bombers and hitting home runs. You guys aren't doing that. What's going on? Still stuck on three home runs. We did get a triple from Ezekiel Tovar early on in the game in the first inning. that was nice for the Rockies to answer the A's run in the first inning when the A's scored in the fourth. Rockies also scored in the fourth. That seemed to be a trend when they were on the road for the opposing team to always respond anytime the Rockies ended up putting one up on the board. So Rockies offense coming through in those moments at times, but the offense has not gotten going. And Chris Bryant is one of those players who simply hasn't gotten things going. And when asked about Chris Bryant and the offense in general, you know, he said, yeah, you know, they're pressing a little bit. And post game, Ryan McMahon said, look, Buddy's going to have our back and he's going to say those kind of things, but we're just not getting the job done. And even before McMahon said that, yeah, look, there's a lot of times where the manager is going to protect his players. And there's a lot of time where, you know, some of the things that come out of people's mouths, you know, is a little bit bunk, but you got to take it with a grain of salt and you say, well, you know, there's some truth in that. I didn't really believe there's any truth about anybody pressing. Ryan Feltner even said post game that no one feels any pressure here whatsoever. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of fans out there that hear that and are going to get upset that, you know, maybe there should be a little bit of pressure. Maybe there should be some urgency right now. And it doesn't seem like as an organization on a whole, there is any urgency right now. And it is early in the season and, you know, the grander scheme of things and the big picture of letting more of these young guys come up, and as disappointing as it was, not only just the Nolan Jones trade, but Zach Veen not making the roster and Chase Dolander not making the roster and a couple young guys that are in the bullpen. I think that, you know, we will see, as disappointing as that was, the front office and Buddy reminded that the opening day roster is not the same roster that you're going to have throughout the season. It might not even be the same roster within a month. And on one hand, you can say, can you really believe what they have to say? And I think that is a fair take, is that a lot of people do believe everything that the Rockies try to sell. It's sad when there's a handful of folks actually in sports media that actually do believe that the Rockies are so disadvantaged and they're in the NL West. Woe is me. They've tried this. They've tried that. Give them a little bit of a break. I've seen a glimmer of hope, so therefore everything is great and justified and no mistakes have been made. That's a little bit over the top. But because the Rockies don't typically talk that way, because the Rockies don't typically speak about their young players with such praise, even when the results aren't exactly there, that told me, yeah, Chase Dolander, they've got some high expectations. They've got some big plans for him this season. Same thing with, you know what? Hey, I know you might not be happy with this opening day roster and the lack of young players or the lack of certain young players, but this roster is not going to stay the same for the entire season, or maybe even for the majority of the season. They don't talk like that. They haven't typically talked like that in the past. That lets you know that there is a bit of a change. Is it enough change? Probably not. That being said, this is a change right now. There is a change a brewing. So, Buddy, even, you know, saying when it comes to Chris Bryant, that, you know, bottom line, we're not getting the job done. Some guys are pressing. Chris Bryant, yeah, he might be. He wants to do well, but his swing is not where he needs it to be. It's not where it was at the end of spring training, and it's not there now. Not once did Bud Black mention Chris Bryant's health. So he starts the game on the bench, or he's, you know, there are some folks within the Rockies org that don't like that, of saying, hey, this guy was benched. No, he's just not starting the game. Benched or not starting the game, however you'd want to phrase it. Second game in a row for Bryant. So he's had 4 days off within the first 7 games of the season. No, that's not right. He's had 4 days off and he's played 4 games in the first 8 days of the season, because there was that off day also on Tuesday. So, you know, body's fine. I saw him taking some ground balls over at first base. So again, that's also a change in, I don't want to say philosophy, but that is certainly a bit of a change the way Buddy is talking about Bryant just not getting the job done. A lot of us did think that sure, you do want to keep Goodman's bat in the lineup. You want to keep him fresh. So Stallings behind the plate, which is where he was located in Ryan Feltner's first start of the season. So you keep that tandem together. That's great. Goodman, keep that bat in the lineup. You hit him DH, Bryant on the bench. How much of that is trying to avoid the boos if he strikes out or he grounds out in a big spot where you needed something more than that, where you needed a hit, or he hits into an inning-ending double play with runners in scoring position? He was booed at the home opener last year because of his poor performance. There was going to be a good shot that it happened again today. Because if his swing is not in the right place, then his level of success is going to decrease drastically. As it turns out, during the introductions, Chris Bryant was booed. And Bud Black, there were some smatterings of boos, a little bit louder for Bryant than it was for Bud Black. But again, I think because the crowd was not segmented, but there were just pockets, there were just holes everywhere, I think the sound was traveling in a much different way. But there are folks that are not happy with Chris Bryant, Bud Black. I think you understand at least where that sentiment is coming from. You got the flyover, which was always awesome. A nice little fireworks show. And that was probably the nicest the weather was, you know, in the entire day. We had a 3-3 ball game. Rockies ended up tying it in the eighth. Tolia struck out. He did have two hits in this game. So two strikeouts in four at-bats, five total plate appearances, but came off the schneid a little bit, scored a run even. He strikes out looking to start the eighth. Kyle Farmer with a double. Now, it seemed as if it was an inside the park home run. Now, Miguel Andujar is out in left field. He's not traditionally an outfielder. He's a third baseman with the Yankees coming up. I don't think he's played a ton of games at Coors Field. Maybe it was his first. But the ball goes under the fence and even from the press box, like you can see the entirety of the baseball. Even from in the press box, you can tell that that ball is not lodged. He throws his hands up, and the umpires make no signal whatsoever. Farmer turns on the jets, comes around for the inside the parker. The ball does get eventually picked up, thrown in, not in time. And they decide, okay, well, let's take a look at this ball. And despite what we thought we all saw in the press box, no, that ball definitely got lodged. You can see that, yes, under the padding of the fence is a large gap, but underneath that, there's a drain for you know, runoff, for water that to run off in the outfield. And you can very clearly see the ball when it stopped, it lodged. It just straight up lodged. So Farmer didn't come back out. I don't know if he was totally gassed, didn't get a chance to talk with him. Maybe he'll have a good quote on Saturday. But Tyler Freeman came in the game at that point. You got Jacob Stallings striking out. So now you got two outs with the runner at second and Jordan Beck. Jordan Beck, clutch for his first RBI of the season to tie it at 3-3 in the bottom of the eighth. Beck eventually steals second base for his third of the year. He's the only one that has a stolen base on the Rockies right now. It ends up being meaningless. Bottom of the ninth, Seth Halvorsen comes in. Halvorsen looked great in the bottom of the ninth. Nice 3-1 put out to Jacob Wilson, who homered in this game. His second home run of his very young career. Son of Jack Wilson. You remember him from the Pittsburgh Pirates? I looked it up. Jack Wilson, two home runs at Coors Field. So Jacob Wilson does not have that on his dad just yet. And then Halvorsen gets Gio Urshela and Max Muncy. Not that Max Muncy, the other Max Muncy. Yeah, that one. He also strikes out to end the ninth. Halvorsen back out for a second inning in the 10th. That little infield single by Lawrence Butler moves runners to the corners. Because don't forget, the guy who made the last out, Muncy, he's on second base. Is he the ghost runner? Is he the Manfred man? Is he a zombie runner? However you'd want to call him. Runners on first and third. Brent Rooker, ground ball to Ryan McMahon, fires home. Stallings makes the tag. And then that nice double play started by Ezekiel Tovar. Six unassisted to get Rooker at second base over to first base to finish off JJ Bleda. Bottom of the 10th, Rockies had a good opportunity there. Real good opportunity. You had Michael Tolia, who was intentionally walked, which was kind of a surprise considering the swing and miss there. So you get runners on first and third after a fly ball to right field by Hunter Goodman allowed McMahon to tag up. So they're trying to get a double play with runner on first and third and one out. Kyle Freeman ends up striking out. Nick Martini comes in to pinch hit, which means Goodman is going to now be your catcher. Martini gets intentionally walked. Jordan Beck, unfortunately, cannot come through in the clutch again. He strikes out. And, you know, just like that, it was all done for. Angel Chivigi ends up giving up three runs, two are earned, and just couldn't get out of that 11th inning. And so 3 hours, 21 minutes later, snowstorm, the whole thing, 37 degrees, Rockies end up losing 6-3. But the story, two stories, I didn't tell you about in the pregame, the torpedo bats. That was brought up. A lot of guys talked about it. Yeah, it was, you know, Spilly mentioned on that first day. I think it was in Philadelphia. Or no, it was in Tampa Bay because it was Saturday that the Yankees hit those 9 home runs. So, yeah, hey, a lot of orders going out to Marucci and the various bat companies. And speaking with Mike Ponarelli, the clubhouse manager for the Rockies, it takes about 2 weeks for these bats to be made. I thought it was interesting that, you know, oh, everyone's ordering all these bats. All right, they're going to get them. Like, they're going to get them, like, the next day? I'm like, don't they got to make them? And there's a whole process, right? Yeah, there's a whole process. So it's going to be about 2 weeks. There was one in the clubhouse. I saw Bill Schmidt bring it over to Todd Helton, and he kind of was just, you know, swinging it, taking some almost, you know, half practice hacks behind the batting cage as guys were getting ready pregame. And as Brenton Doyle put it, I think he said it best. Bud Black, you know, spoke well on it. Like, you know, it remains to be seen, you know, if this is going to work or not. You know, I think it will work for some players. Others, it just won't. It really depends on where you make the most contact with your bat, right? That's really what it comes down to. Some guys it will help. Some guys, no impact whatsoever. In fact, it might even be bad for them if they hit balls on the end of their bat. But Brenton Doyle, best quote, saying it's the hitter, not the bat. End quote. It's pretty simple and straightforward, and I think that's going to, you know, work its way out. So Chase Dolander on Sunday to make his major league debut. Cool video down in Albuquerque where, you know, he had taken notes the day before, and the coaching staff saying like, I don't think you're going to need notes on these hitters, because he was supposed to go on Friday night. He's not going to be going, he was supposed to go Saturday night, but he's not going on Saturday night. He's going on Sunday. So that was a cool little video you can see over on social media. It's interesting that, you know, he already had faced the A's in spring training, and that was probably one of his worst starts. And it wasn't bad because the hitters exposed him in any way. Just couldn't find strikes. The A's were very patient with it. And the interesting note about that is, you know, you might say, well, the A's have already seen Dolander. That's not great, not ideal, but look, these are big leaguers. These are big boys. You just got to go out there and play, right? The interesting aspect of that is the A's rested most of their best hitters. So there might only be two or three guys in Sunday's lineup that actually did face Dolander during spring training. Now, Chase made one start in Albuquerque, 4 innings, gave up 6 hits, scattered them mostly, 2 walks, was charged with 1 run, struck out 5, hit a batter. So the whip, the walks plus hits divided by innings pitch, a little high, 2. And so it probably deserves a slightly higher than a 2.25 ERA, but look, it's one start. And, you know, he's shown more than enough that he's ready. And this is not going to be a one and done situation. I thought Tanner Gordon or Anthony Molina could be a spot start candidate because Austin Gomber is supposed to come back on April 8th. the first day back that he's eligible. That's day 16, right? 15 day IL for pitchers, except after his opening night start with the Isotopes last Friday, had some more left shoulder discomfort. That's unfortunate. So he is not going to be back on April 8th, which means they need more than just a stopgap solution, and enter Chase Dolander. So that's going to be really exciting. He'll be at the ballpark on Saturday. I'm not sure if, you know, fans will have an opportunity to see him in any capacity. You'll see him in the dugout. If you watch the game, you'll see him in there. And we'll get a chance to talk with him a little bit more. You can get some real cool content over on the YouTube channel, the Rockies Insider YouTube channel. I've got tons of videos from Friday. You can see the flyover, the player introductions, Buddy talking in the dugout, Hunter Goodman about his great start and staying hot. He was great in spring training. He's still hitting incredibly well through the first week of the season. Brenton Doyle talking about those torpedo bats. Kyle Freeland talking about how strong the starting rotation has been as well. So check those videos out. You'll see the Chase Dolander on Saturday. You'll see some post game from him as well. And then Sunday, not sure if I'll be live from the ballpark or what, but Sunday, you know, I'll have an episode out for you. So you're ready to go on that drive back into work on Monday. Appreciate you joining me. Make sure you're following me on social media at Patrick D. Lyons, either on Blue Sky or X. Not as many TikToks these days, but if you're just looking for that news immediately, boom, snap your finger. It's breaking, right? That's where you get it on social media. It's crazy that's the world we live in today. But if you want to know what's happening immediately in the moment, at Patrick D. Lyons or at Patrick D. Lyons MLB on X or Blue Sky. Appreciate you joining me. Appreciate the momentum. But as I like to say, momentum can only be as good as your next show. So of course, I'll talk to you then.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.